she's just like me.
Well, the reason that my mom is the best mom is because she can do anything for me. Even when I don't want to do something, she can just do it for me. Like, one night I didn't want to make my lunch, so she just made it for me just for that one night, and then she just does all the hard work, and so then I can enjoy my last days of laziness before I have to mow the lawn. So yeah, that is one of the many reasons why she is the best mom ever.
My mom's the best because she helps me up when I fall down. She loves me even though sometimes I can be a brat. She's caring for me even though sometimes I don't do what she really wants me to. Like one time I folded the laundry, but I didn't put it away. So she did it for me. I love my mom, and that's why she's the best.
I think my mom's the best because she bakes pancakes with me, and when I'm sick she cares for me. That's why I think my mom's the best.
She's the best mom in the world because she takes care of me and she loves me and she feeds me and helps me go to sleep.
She takes care of me because she takes me to baseball every day.
My mom is the best mom in the whole world because she takes me to the park sometimes.
My mom's the best world. Okay, sorry. My mom's the best mom in the world because she loves me and she takes care of me.
Oh, that's so much fun. You know, Mother's Day is a great time, and it stirs up a lot of emotions, doesn't it? Mother's Day. Most good. I mean, some bad. But those memories with moms and kids are just great. And sometimes funny things happen. You know, when you put kids on a camera, they'll do some funny things. But I remember one time Pam had one of those mom days. You know, I've always left the house way earlier than them on Sunday morning. So she had one of those mornings with Drew, our son. And he was not cooperating so well. And so they came in church and sat down, and I came in after them, and I sat down next to them, and I'd been counseling with a young lady who wanted to get married to this guy, and so we'd been visiting, and so she came to church. She didn't know anybody, so I said, "Why don't you sit with my wife and me?" So we went over and sat down, and so I sat down, this young lady sat on the other side of me, and Drew leaned over to his mom, and he said, "Who's that?" And Pam said, "It's a young lady your dad's thinking about marrying." And he said, "Good, I want a new mommy." I think she heard it and she never came back. Scared her to death. But you know, we have those memories. And you know, I love that where the kids, first of all, I think every kid ought to think their mom's the best mom in the world. But you know, what makes a great mom? You know, you've got those memories and things, those thoughts. But how many of you remember, think back, this stirs some memories on your mind, the conversations that you had with your mom? You know, she taught you to appreciate a job well done because, or to cleanliness because, and I got this off Pinterest, by the way, so you know it's true. she said, "If you're going to kill one another, do it outside. I just finished cleaning." You ever heard that? She taught you to pray, didn't she? You better pray that will come out of the carpet before your dad gets home. How about time travel? You remember this? Your mom said, "If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week." You know, you have these conversations with your mom, but what are the qualities of a good mom? You know, what are they? And it doesn't even necessarily have to be a biological mom. Some of you are here today, and God's never blessed you with children, but He's blessed you to be the mom to other people. And so you might have some of the qualities that God is looking for in a mom. And God wants to make sure those are true. You know, you look at the mother of Jesus, Mary. And you look at Mary and you think about this. Now I want to make something very, very clear. Mary embodied the qualities that God wanted in a good mom, or otherwise He wouldn't have chosen Mary. But Mary is a human being. Some people tend to deify Mary. Some people want to worship Mary. Mary is not to be worshipped. She's a human being. She's a mom. She has great qualities. But all the qualities that Mary had, Mom, you too can have those qualities. Those things can be real in your life. So I want us to look at some of those things that she had that the Bible tells us about. So I want you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, it's going to sound kind of like a Christmas message, but it's not. It's about moms. We're going to look at verse 26, 27, 28. And you know how I do. I'd like for you to stand up in reverence for God's word as we read these verses. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. The Bible says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.'" Let's pray. God, I pray that you take the words that we've read today. And God, even more important than that, Lord, you take the words that you've put in my mouth, that your Holy Spirit leads me with, God, and that I only share the words that he gives me. Lord, I pray that we understand the qualities of a mom, how important they are, and how important God recognizes family to be. Lord, I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. So Mary, chosen by God to bear the child Jesus, to raise and educate the Son of God, Jesus. You know, for more than one reason, I wish I had written the song that Mark Lowry wrote, "Mary, Did You Know?" There's a lot of reasons that it would have been beneficial for me to have written that song. But it's very interesting when we think about that concept, the things that Mary must have pondered in her mind, the things that she must have wondered, the things that she perhaps didn't know. When you entered into motherhood, though you're so wise now, there were some things that you probably weren't prepared for. I think it's so funny, the first time a first-time mom comes to church and takes her child into the nursery, they're so nervous and they let their child go and they walk up and they want to check this out and check out. They're watching the monitor. Is anything going up on the screen on the monitor? Is everything going to be okay? Is little Johnny doing okay? Is he behaving? Is everything right? About the third or fourth one, they're going, "Here you are, I'm out of here." You know, things change. They get used to it pretty fast. But when we look at the woman that God chose to birth and raise the Son of God, I mean, just let that sink in, to raise the Son of God. I'm nervous as a parent raising three children, and I'm always thinking, boy, am I doing this right? Am I teaching this? Am I the right example in this regard? Am I doing all the things that I need to do? I can't imagine Mary understanding who Jesus was, and Mary understanding that awesome responsibility, how she must have felt. But I want you to understand something. God chose you. Whether you're a mom, he chose you to be a mom, or he chose you to be an adoptive mom, or just a friend mom, or whatever. God chose you to be there to do that. And so here's some of the qualities that God saw in Mary. First of all, we understand that she had a spotless reputation. The Bible describes her really with one word. It says that she was a virgin. She was pure. She was chaste. Now, I want you to understand something, because I want to be very, very careful that I'm not teaching that we should deify, or that Mary was deified or should be worshipped. Mary was a normal woman who committed sin and did things that women do. But she was chaste in her behavior. And that's very important to understand, because when we begin to raise a family, we need to understand, we need to look at even statistics and look at culture and look at other families. Here's what we can learn from this. First of all, how important it is for a mom to have a spotless reputation. Not just going into marriage, but throughout marriage. Did you know that impurity tends to breed impurity? And that's a hard cycle to break out of. It's hard to move from that. And children learn morality from watching mom and dad. If you watch filthy TV shows on TV, they're going to watch filthy TV shows on TV. I'm going to confess something right now. Last night, I was in a parking lot, and it was me, Pam, and Taylor, and I pulled up to a stop sign at a, you know, in a parking lot, like it, I don't even know what it was. It was in a shopping center, and there was nobody around, and I did not come to a complete stop at this. And Taylor's a new driver. She said, well, if Dad doesn't have to stop, I don't either. They learn morality from watching mom and dad. You know, back in the day when I was a teenager, there was a thing called a fuzz buster. You guys remember those? Put them on your dash. It would tell you when a police is around. Listen to me. If you teach your children that it's only wrong to break the speed limit when you're being watched, you're telling them that it's okay to sin if God isn't watching. Of course, we know he always is. And it's okay to do things after you get out of the presence of mom and dad. But it's not. So children learn morality from their mom and dad. She had a spotless reputation. Another thing that Mary was, she was secure in her dedication. It's a very interesting word that the Bible uses to describe her dedication. Verse 27, the Bible says that she was betrothed to a man. She was committed to a man. She was committed to Joseph. One man. And that was very important for God. The betrothal period was a very sacred period in the life, in the relationship of the couple. It was more so even precious and sacred than what we've considered in our culture marriage today, but at least that sacred as we would imagine as a believer we're living in cooperation with a relationship with another person. The custom was like this. The young man would bring the young man was brought to a wedding feast by the bridesmaids, and the bridegroom was brought to the feast by the groomsmen. You know, you do a wedding, you've got the bridesmaids over here and the groomsmen over here, and they all show up together, and there was a special garment that they wore. Sounds a whole lot like our wedding, but a little difference. The commitment started in the relationship to purity and commitment long before that day that they stood up front. It started at the time of betrothal, and she was betrothed to Joseph. She was committed to him no matter what. There's nothing that Joseph could do that would change her mind, her relationship with Joseph. So she had a spotless reputation. She was secure in her dedication. There's another thing that we ought to think about as believers and as moms. She was sold out to God. Moms, if you're going to be the best mom that you can be, if you want to mark something down that you should write something down, if I'm going to be the best mom I can possibly be, what is one of the things I can do? You need to be sold out to God. Look at Luke chapter 20, or chapter 1, verse 28 that we read a while ago. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one." He said, "The Lord is with you. Blessed among women." Now, there are three things I think are really important that the angel was telling Mary. First of all, he was telling Mary, and by the way, moms, I want you to get this. I want you to understand this. You are a special person. And God was telling Mary, "Mary, you are a special person." She did it through this angel that she was a special person. God was the number one priority in her life. Mom, God must be the number one priority in your life. You know, there's two things that I, in particular, that I want to teach my children. One, I want them to know that I love their mother more than anything in the world except God. And number two, I want them to know that we love God unimaginably how more than we love each other. Mary was 100% sold out to God. Listen to me, Mom. If you want to be the best mom you can be, it's got to start there. You got to be dedicated, but you have to have a good reputation. But listen to me, you have to be sold out to God. He said, "You're a special person." Number two, he said, "The Lord is with you." In other words, you have a special presence. Mom, you're a special person, but you have a special presence if you are a child of God. And God wanted Mary to know that. That's why he sent the message for the angel. He wanted her to know it was going to be tough. Raising a child is hard work. Raising the Son of God, I can't even imagine, I can't even fathom that. But then number three, you have a special position. He said to Mary, blessed are you among women. You know what I see in that? I see God saying to Mary, you have got my mark of approval. You have my mark of approval. That's how important it is. And that's what we see in the sold out to God life that Mary had. Number four, she was sacrificially motivated. Now, moms, you understand that. You know, as a mom, if you have one or you have a dozen children, you're going to see that your children have good shoes, even though you might wear a pair that's worn out. You're going to see that your children have plenty to eat. And you say, well, I don't really need dessert today. You ever heard mom say that? You know, I'm kind of watching my weight. I don't really need dessert today. I don't really need that piece of pie because there's only a couple left and I want the kids to have it. Sacrificially motivated. Understand that the motivation, that sacrifice that Mary made was far greater than giving up a large piece of pie or a pair of shoes. I mean, the sacrifice that she was making, and again, we just don't think about this very often, but she was opening herself up to gossip. Because here's a couple who's not gone through the feast yet, but they're betrothed, and she's with child. So you know what they're thinking? Spotless reputation, nothing. This lady is lying. And Joseph, he's thinking about all this, pondering this in his mind. Can you imagine the gossip, all the things that was going on? She could have lost her friends. Because her friends would look at her and say, well, this Mary, you've got to be lying. It's not possible. You're asking your friends to believe something that's biologically impossible. With us, it's impossible. With God, it's not. So they had to believe that. They had to believe God in order to believe Mary. She could have lost her friends. She could have lost her fiance because Joseph could have said, look, I don't know what's going on here. I know I've not had anything to do with this. I know I've not known you in that way. So you're asking me to believe this crazy story that the Holy Spirit came in and you conceived at night and now you're with child? She could have lost her fiance. Listen to me, it was far greater than that. She could have lost her life. Because adultery then was dealt with by death. She could have lost her life. There was so much that she put on the line, so much that she put out there. But she did it. Because she was living a sacrificial life. She was sacrificially motivated because that's who she was. Moms, I know you think that, well, if I just give them the best clothes and I make sure they have the best of everything. Listen, that's what being a mom is. But look at the example that we have in Mary. She had a submissive spirit. That's another quality that we can see in moms. She had a submissive spirit. Did you know that your children learn submission, mom, by watching you and dad? I think sometimes we don't want to talk about submission because our culture has made it such a negative thing. But if you understand what the Word of God taught about submission, we all submit to authorities. But children, listen to me, they're watching you. They're watching how you respond to dad. They're watching how you respond to God. In fact, I wrote down three examples of what we see in these things, in Mary in particular. Example number one, she was submissive to God Himself. See, Mary sat and she listened as the angel shared the words of God, as the angel shared the things that God was making known to her. And she's got to be sitting here listening to these things, thinking, I don't even think this is possible. How can this happen? I can't understand this. I can't grasp it. I can't understand it. I can't figure it out. What is God trying to say here? But you know what? She said, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be submissive to you. She was submissive to the government. That's a hard one to swallow, isn't it? Sometimes our culture, sometimes our government endorses things, does things, governs things that we say, well, I just don't agree with that. I don't like that. I don't understand. Well, here's what we see. They had just gotten married. Mary and Joseph had just gotten together. And they were expecting a child. The Bible says, Luke chapter 2, verse 4, Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. They had just gotten married, if you would. They have found out she was with child. They knew all of these things, and now she's got to travel to the census, for the census order that the government has demanded. Mary and Joseph, they lived in Bethlehem in Judea. The journey took about 4 to 5 days. They didn't jump into Buick and drive, and by the way, it's about 65 miles. Can you imagine, Mom, being in the condition that you remember, and your husband comes up to you and says, listen, the government said we're gonna have to go for a census, we're gonna have to travel, it's gonna be a tough trip, it's gonna be 65 miles, you're not jumping in a car, you're not strapping a seatbelt on or taking a nap, stopping at McDonald's or a rest area or anything else, you are traveling, walking, or riding on a donkey for 65 miles. That's how submissive she was to the government. Example number 3, her husband. You know, sometime after Jesus was born, Joseph came to Mary and said that, hey, we're going to have to leave our ancestral home. We're going to have to travel to Egypt. And we're going to have to leave everything we know, everything we love. I realize we have a baby. I realize I have all these things, but we're going to have to move because God has spoken to me now. And this is where we have to go. You see, shortly after that, Herod ordered the death of all boys 2 years old and younger. Do you understand this? Mary's submissiveness saved the life of Jesus Christ. Submissiveness. Submission's a good thing. You see, well, here's what happened with Mary. First of all, it resulted in the protection of her family. It relieved her from a burden. You know, being a mom is a burden enough. It relieved her of the burden of that responsibility, and she could lean on Joseph. Said, Joseph, you're my leader. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to follow you. And then the responsibility became his. This is the example that we see in Scripture from Mary. Now, Luke chapter 1, verse 37, for God, with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And then the angel departed. Wow. Trusting and following in the footsteps of God, how God would lead. Then you know what else? Another quality she had, she was humble. Now, we don't think much about the humility of Mary, but we don't see her speaking out much either. But remember, she was raising the Son of God, and she never reminded Joseph one time, hey, listen, I am highly favored. I am the chosen one. You're along for the ride, buddy. God chose me, and you just happen to be the guy hanging along with me. She never said that to him. How about this? You ever see moms get together? Oh, my goodness, it starts so early. And especially with social media, we see it now. Hey, my son's 3 months old and he's standing up and walking. In fact, I think he's going to be in track next week. You ever seen those things posted? Hey, brag alert, my child, all these things. We want to tell all the things that our kids are doing. When are little babies going to do these things? Hey, my child said 2 words today. What was it? I think it was dad. I'm not real sure. But we begin to talk about all these things, and it doesn't end when they get older. Hey, my child got to, they're working at such and such firm, they're doing this. We just talk about it. Listen to me, can you imagine the play days with Jesus? Hey, be easier. No, that's my son. He's the Son of God. Don't bruise him. That's the Christ. Can you imagine the conversations that she could have had, but we don't have any record of her ever having those conversations? Why? Because she was humble. Just quietly followed the leadership of God. My boy is Jesus. Even at the foot of the cross, she's mourning, she's weeping, and she's quiet. Jesus introduced John to take care of Mary and follow all these things. But listen to me. One of the characteristics of Mary's life is humility. Big time humility. Then the final characteristic we're going to look at this morning is that she provided an example that others can follow in. Her example, I want you to understand, try to see the dynamics of a husband-wife relationship. Try to see this not just as she's Mary, Jesus' son, not she's not just the favored one. She is a mother and a wife. She was a mother and a wife. And there were times, I'm going to guess, that she and Joseph probably didn't agree. And there were times that every good wife does. You know, when I marry a couple, I explained that the man is going to be a spiritual leader in the home. And I explained that the woman is to be a challenge to him. Listen to me. None of us men are above being challenged, especially spiritually. We are not perfect. We make mistakes. We do things wrong. Often, I think. More often than we should, obviously. And it's okay for your wife to say, listen, you know, we ought to be thinking about this. Hey, you know, we haven't prayed about this. Hey, you know, we haven't sought this. She was an example to Joseph with what they did. But I want you to get something out of this. I want you to catch this. A submissive and exemplary mom, wife, can lead a lost husband to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want you to turn your Bibles with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 3. This is so valuable. Go ahead and take a minute. Because I want you to follow along, I want you to see it. 1 Peter chapter 3. I want you to see what this little epistle has to say. Here's what it says. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. Now get this. That even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe the chaste conduct accompanied by fear. That is such a powerful verse. Submissive to your own husband, that they do not obey the word. You see, what happened in those days when a woman married a man and she thought maybe he was something he is not, or maybe she became a believer after they married. And so what was she going to do? She's locked into this relationship. Divorce was not permissible. She's in a relationship now, unequally yoked, as the scripture teaches us, with a lost person, and what is she going to do? And here's what Peter tells her. He says, with your chaste behavior, without a word. Wow, that says so much. And that's seldom done. You know what happens when a person is living in opposition to the way the spouse thinks they do? You know what they do? They tell them about it. Now, it might be something as simple as picking up your socks and underwear when you come home, or at the end of the day, or get out of the shower, throw everything on the floor. And very seldom are words not shared between a couple when those things tend to happen. But we're talking about something far more serious than leaving dirty clothes on the floor. We're talking about a life without a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Bible is saying to these ladies, if your husband is lost, without getting on a soapbox, without constantly preaching at him, live the exemplary life that a lady should. Let him see that chaste behavior. Let him see the life of a believer. Let him see what God is doing in your life. And listen to me, I've seen this happen. First time I was a young pastor, and I preached a message and had an opportunity to share the gospel with a young lady that was in church, and she was married, and she'd visited a couple times, never met her husband. And she accepted Christ. We baptized her. She started coming. She had a significant burden for her lost husband. She would be in the altar often weeping and crying, come and talk to me. My husband is lost. She finally came to me one day and she said, my husband doesn't like me coming to church. She hates it. It's getting in the way of my relationship with my husband. And she said, what am I going to do? And I read this verse of scripture to her and we talked about it. We talked about how you can live that out. One Sunday morning, her husband, they got up and he said, "I don't want you to go to church today. I want you to spend the day with me." And she said, "Okay, God, I'm going to try this." And she said, "All right, let's go do something." He just looked at her and said, "Really? You're not going to go to church?" And she said, "No." And she said, I didn't know what to do. I was scared to death. And he said, "Well, no, I'm not going to have that put on me. I'm going with you." They came to church. Now they were, I would like to tell you he walked the aisle that day, but after about two or three visits, I'm standing at the altar and the floor sloped a little bit and he was a big guy, big guy. And he already was concerned about me because I'd led her to the Lord and he thinks I'd destroyed his family. And they're standing kind of in the back, middle aisle. And during the invitation, I saw him fidget a little bit. And he stepped out and he headed down that aisle and had his fist clenched. Now, I'll be honest with you, I thought he was coming to take me out. He came down there and just grabbed me and hugged me and picked me up and said, "I don't know what my wife has, but I need it. How about that?" He got down on his knees. We visited. He prayed and received Jesus Christ as his Savior. Ended up baptizing him. They later, after I moved off and left the church, I found out that they became missionaries. Listen to me. God does spectacular things when we're obedient to Him. Submissiveness, example. These things, they seem tough sometimes. Listen, those are some of the qualities that God looked for in the mother that he wanted to raise his son. He handpicked her. Listen to me. None of the things that Mary possessed are impossible for you to possess. Mom, no matter what status you're in, you're influencing somebody's life. It may not be your own children, maybe somebody else's children, but you're influencing those precious lives. Let me ask you something. Can you check those qualities off one by one? Say, "Okay, got this, got this." Do you work on those things every day by staying in the Word of God, by making God number one in your life? Do you teach them morality by living a moral life? By doing the things that you know as a believer God wants you to do? Sometimes people say, "Well, I'm not really sure if that's okay. I think it's okay for me to do it." Listen to me. If you don't want to do it in front of your pastor, then don't do it at all. If you'd be ashamed for Jesus Christ to be sitting there with you, watching and what you're doing, don't do it. Teach them morality. Teach them submissiveness. Teach them to be sold out on God. Teach them dedication, commitment to your husband. Teach them what it's like to really sacrifice. Not just a piece of pie, but sacrifice your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. You know, this sermon primarily today is addressed or sent to moms. But I want to tell you something. As I sat and prepared and prayed over this message, I too was convicted. As a father, as a believer, have you completely put your life in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ? Mom, dad, young man, young lady, have you sold out 100% to God? Living a life of purity, life of sacrifice. Life of submission to God. It's not just wives. Guys, we teach our children submissiveness by how we respond to God's call on our life. And what about an example? What kind of example are you setting for your children? God has called us today to this moment. He's inviting you to make a decision today. Let's pray. God, I pray for every single one of us, including myself, God. Lord, I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful for a godly mother that you gave me and godly women that you put in my life and other areas. And so thankful for my wife, God. God, the challenge is upon me to live in obedience to you that my children can look at their mother and father and say they love each other and they love God. And here's how it's manifested as they live out their life. God, help us to feel the presence of your Holy Spirit today and to respond appropriately. Lord, I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.